Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and this is side two of For the Record program number 303, If Music Be the Food of Love, Munch On. We're going to plunge right into the subject material, which concerns BMG, the music division of Bertelsmann, in all likelihood a Bormann company, or at least I believe it's a Bormann company, and I think the evidence, and sadly I think future history, will bear that out. Bertelsmann has failed in its effort to form a dominant merger with EMI. However, it has continued to maneuver in the music business, and the more I study BMG and Thomas Middelhoff, the CEO of Bertelsmann, the more my appreciation for Middelhoff's skill as a businessman grows. He is one sharp cookie, my distaste for Bertelsmann in and of itself notwithstanding. Middelhoff is really good. Very good at what he does, not a good individual necessarily, although who knows. I personally believe he's one of the skilled Bormann managers about which we've read so often. In any event, I do think the man is very good at business. The Financial Times of Monday, May 7th of the year 2001 highlighted a couple of aspects of the Bertelsmann-Napster deal in terms of Middelhoff's strategy, and we're going to take a look at online music distribution and the Bertelsmann-Napster deal, among other things, in this broadcast. This article is by Bertrand Benoit. This is from the Financial Times of Monday, May 7th of 2001, headlined, BMG Waits for Second Chance to Build Music Empire. We dealt with that article in the first side of this program. I want to review one passage here. AOL's acquisition, actually Bertelsmann is, let me begin the paragraph before this. In dealing with the European Commission, Middelhoff rather argued that the advent of online music distribution has changed the music business, and that apparently this, to a certain extent, was accepted by EU regulators, and apparently it was the EMI side that shied away from this deal. Article here speculates also about a possible BMG hostile bid for EMI. Nothing bars BMG from launching a hostile bid, since most of the reluctance to enter the EU vetting process obviously came from the British side. Yet Mr. Middelhoff has ruled out the option. Instead, he thinks the Commission could eventually be rallied to his argument that collective dominance is not an issue in the era of digital music and media alliances. AOL's acquisition of Time Warner and Vivendi's absorption of Universal, he says, have already changed the market. While fewer majors would also be more effective in fighting internet music piracy and imposing a standardized digital format for legitimate downloads. I would note that the growth of AOL was financed by Bertelsmann to a considerable extent, and Middelhoff used to sit on the board of directors of AOL, and the capital that Bertelsmann got when it sold its share in AOL used to finance many, many acquisitions indeed, and they got out just in time. I would also point out that that Bertelsmann was considering itself pinched by the advent of online music distribution. And in an article that is right next to the article that I just excerpted, this is an article also from the Financial Times of Monday, May 7th of 2001. This is by Uta Harnischweger in Frankfurt. It's headlined, Middelhoff rules out any sale of music division, and it reads in part, skipping down, Mr. Middelhoff said Bertelsmann's alliance with Napster, the U.S. online music company, had changed the situation. He said that in July, quote, I was worried that we could be sandwiched between unrestricted online distribution and stagnation in the CD business, unquote. So as I noted inside one of this broadcast, the Napster-Bertelsmann deal, first of all, has provided Middelhoff with a two-pronged argument with regard to attempting to persuade EU commissioners to go along with a major acquisition by Bertelsmann and consequent increased concentration of ownership in the music business, one being that the advent of online music distribution has changed the music business, and also that increased concentration would permit effective fighting of internet piracy of music. Also note that the Bertelsmann Napster deal has relieved Thomas Middelhoff of his fears that Bertelsmann could be sandwiched between could be hampered by illegal online music distribution. I would note that as Napster was attempting to fight for its life, it was able to offer $1 billion to some of the music majors in order to compensate them for their losses in this case. The San Francisco Chronicle of Wednesday, February 21st of the year 2001 touched on this deal. This $1 billion offer by Napster, which is a lot of money for an upstart company that doesn't charge for its services, or basically that is able to get music for free. This is an article by Benny Evangelista of the Chronicle. Its headline, Napster makes $1 billion peace offer, subtitled 5-year licensing payment to record companies if they drop suit. This article reads in part as follows. Trying to head off a court ruling that could put it out of business, Napster offered the recording industry $1 billion yesterday in hopes of ending the legal war raging over internet music piracy. I wonder where they came up with $1 billion. That's a lot of money. One wonders whether perhaps Bertelsmann made that offer. Skipping down, major and independent record firms would get a cut of $1 billion in licensing fees over a 5-year period, according to top executives from Napster and its chief ally, media conglomerate Bertelsmann AG, who detailed the offer at a news conference in San Francisco. Interesting. It sounds like that $1 billion would have come from Bertelsmann. Now, note again the strategy that BMG was engaging in with regard to Napster. They were using the advent of online music to, first of all, argue on behalf of their own acquisitions of music companies, thereby concentrating the music business. The advent of online music and its acceptance was used as an argument in behalf or in favor of increased concentration of the music business. Middelhoff was also arguing that that increased concentration, which would of course take place if BMG bought another major firm, would permit more effective combating of online music piracy. Note in that context the following. This is something which, at least to a certain extent, at least so far, has not come to fruition. But Bertelsmann itself, BMG itself, where actually Bertelsmann was working on its own online music distribution file sharing service. Research credit on this goes to a member of the listening audience. This comes from the Standard. That's the Evening Standard, which is a this is called the Industry Standard of Europe. I'll give you the websites at the end of the reading of this particular article. This again is called the Industry Standard of Europe, and the subtitle of the publication is Intelligence for the Internet Economy. This is by Boris Grondahl, Groundahl. It's datelined February 26th of the year 2001. It's headlined Bertelsmann's Secret Napster Clone. And it's subtitled Snoopstar, a file swapping service that was beta tested this month, is seen as a possible backup if Napster is shut down. So Bertelsmann was not only prepared to back up Napster, but it's interesting to speculate about this particular beta-tested service as perhaps a lever to help persuade the music industry to accept online distribution. Bertelsmann is secretly developing software that could be used as a backup if file-sharing partner Napster is ordered to shut down. The program, dubbed Snoopstar, is an easy-to-use interface that allows users to search for music, videos, and other files downloaded from various file-sharing services that include Napster, Nutella, and iMesh. Snoopstar, whose logo features a grinning dog's face similar to Napster's cat, was quietly made available for beta testing in early February. That beta test is now over, according to the Snoopstar website, which invites visitors to check our website frequently for news, unquote. Bertelsmann is clearly looking for alternatives should Napster really have to close, said Paul Myers, founder of Whippet, a UK-based file-sharing service, but I don't see any advantages Snoopstar would have for them, unquote. Napster CEO Hank Berry told German trade newspaper NetBusiness that he wasn't aware of Snoopstar, but that he understood Bertelsmann's interest in such a service. Quote, "There is a great chance that Napster will just be shut down," Barry said, according to the paper. A Napster spokeswoman said Monday that Barry wouldn't comment on Snoopstar. BECG spokesman Alexander Adler said Snoopstar would not affect BECG's support for Napster. A more conspiratorial notion is that Bertelsmann will use Snoopstar as a bargaining chip against the other record labels, threatening to let the service loose should the labels not settle with Napster. Skipping down, the Snoopstar.com domain was registered by Matthias Runte, an executive of BECG, Bertelsmann's e-commerce subsidiary that signed a deal with Napster last year. Interestingly, Runte also registered the Snoopstar.com domain. According to NetBusiness, BECG owns 75% of Snoopstar.com, whose chief executive, Andreas Schmidt, is also CEO of BECG. So make of the Snoopstar gambit what one will. It certainly would appear that even if Napster did go down, Bertelsmann was going to continue pursuing online internet business, and bear in mind the strategic aspects of BMG and Mittelhoff's decisions, as I detailed in excerpts of the two articles with which I began this side of the broadcast. Also note that whether or not it was Bertelsmann's alliance with Napster, online music distribution is now being accepted by the music industry, and within a period of a few days, there was a major signing of online music distribution deals with various major music companies. That was discussed in the San Francisco Chronicle of Monday, April 9th of the year 2001. This is an article also by Benny Evangelista, who wrote the other Chronicle article that I read about Napster. This article is headlined "Music Industry Tardy to Digital Party." It's subheaded "Napster Unique Despite Deals," and it reads in part as follows. The biggest players in the music and technology industries announced an unprecedented flurry of deals last week that showed they were finally ready to join the online music party. Each of the record industry's Big Five, Universal, Sony, Bertelsmann, AOL, Time Warner, and EMI, last week cut deals with powerhouse partners like Yahoo and MTV networks. The alliance promises to bring consumers to the wide variety of music they are already accustomed to finding with Napster, which continues to fight for its life tomorrow in a San Francisco courtroom where a federal judge will hear arguments about whether the company is adequately blocking users from downloading copyrighted songs. But even though the digital drumbeat became louder last week, analysts said the future of online music was like an unfinished melody with a tune that is not quite in harmony with customers' desires. And despite the buzz, analysts say it may take a year or more before there is a viable, legal alternative to Redwood City's Napster Incorporated. So whatever the fate of Napster, and I would not altogether dismiss the possibility that Napster could be saved at the very last minute, we're going to talk in a minute about a new software that's been developed which might save the fortunes of Napster. I would note that there has been a sudden rush to capitalize on online music distribution, and that BMG is among the companies that joined with real networks, and there were three major companies, BMG, AOL, Time Warner, and EMI, that basically formed MusicNet with real networks. So BMG has already found a commercial partnership to supplement Napster. The following is from the San Jose Mercury News of Tuesday, April 3rd of the year 2001. This is an article by Dawn C. Chmielewski, C-H-M-I-E-L-E-W-S-K-I, of the Mercury News. It's headlined, "Music Pact is the Real Deal," subtitled, "Record Deals Partner, Record Labels Partner on Net." The article reads in part as follows. The underground music phenomenon took a leap toward legitimacy Monday as Real Network signed a deal with three major record labels to license their music for distribution over the internet. Seattle-based Real Networks announced a partnership with AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, and EMI Group to form MusicNet, a central clearinghouse where online services such as Napster can obtain licenses to distribute music for consumers to download or listen to in a continuous stream. This is historic. I don't think we should shy away from pretending that it's not, said Larry Jacobson, Real Networks President and Chief Operating Officer. It is the first time that you've seen the industry, that you've seen the majority of players in the industry line up behind a single technology, unquote. So note that BMG, along with Time Warner, AOL Time Warner, and EMI, banded together to form MusicNet. And I also want to point out that Napster itself has at least the prospect of new life. We're going to take a look now at the development of a new software which may enhance Napster's prospects. The following article is from the Financial Times of Thursday, May 10th of the year 2001. This is an article by Aisling O'Connor. It is headlined, Napster May Dance to Songbird Tune. The article reads in part as follows. Sean Fanning, the 21-year-old founder of Napster and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's E-Person of the Year, has a rival for the title of Bright Internet Upstart. Not only is Travis Hill a year younger, but he could also steal the limelight in the hot debate over online music distribution by offering the industry a solution to the Napster piracy issue. Mr. Hill, a 20-year-old former classical pianist from the state of Utah, has developed software that can track the use of copyrighted material over Napster's peer-to-peer service so artists and publishers can remove work that has been uploaded to the network without their permission. More importantly, he has found a way to identify misspelled file tags to tackle the problem of Napster users tweaking artists' names and song titles to get around tracking systems. Media Enforcer, the technology company Mr. Hill founded a year ago, yesterday received the backing of the IFPI, the recording industry's official trade body, which said the new software would be a valuable tool for independent music makers. Songbird, Mr. Hill's program, can be downloaded for free from www.iapu.org and used to search for a song or artist on all of Napster's 90 servers. Mr. Hill, who also writes music and prepares pop music, said the pedestrian pace of Napster's progress in complying with a California court injunction requiring it to block copyrighted songs from its service was, quote, frustrating, unquote. Every turn they take, they seem to stall and then accept the inevitable, unquote, he said. Napster is making moves to incorporate digital fingerprints, unquote, into tracks for download by its 60 million users so that copyright owners can be paid, but copyright breaches continue nonetheless. More than a billion song files were exchanged on the site last month. Jay Berman, the chairman of IFPI, said, quote, Songbird shows that the industry is prepared to defend its rights not just through the courts, but by developing technologies to allow us to do so, unquote. So it remains to be seen, obviously, what will take place as I speak on May 13th of 2001, but it could be that Napster's fortunes, per se, will be saved by the Songbird technology. The problem has been, with regard to Napster's legal problems, that even though they have attempted to comply with the industry wishes, there are still basically flaws in their blocking technology, and it has allowed Napster users to continue to download songs for free. Whether Songbird turns out to be the answer to that remains to be seen. We're going to review a section about the Vivendi company. Vivendi is the parent company of Universal. Universal, in turn, is the largest music company in the world. And we're going to review some information that we looked at in For the Record program number 300 about Universal. This article, and this is a review from For the Record number 300, this article is from the Financial Times of London of Tuesday, April 3rd of the year 2001. This article is by James Harding and Joe Johnson, and we read this article also in For the Record program number 300 about the music business, as well as we read this and the article about Cleve Calder. This article is by Jean-Marie Messier. We read the Cleve Calder article inside A of this program. And James, this is about Jean-Marie Messier and Vivendi. Vivendi is an Italian-sounding name. It's a French corporation that is the parent company of Universal, the largest music company in the world. And we're going to review an aspect of Vivendi which would suggest, and once again, as is the case with Zomba Records, this is an entirely speculative element, but this would suggest that the information contained in this article, that in all likelihood, Vivendi, the parent company of Universal, is also controlled by what I call the underground right, because this is a major French corporation that dates back to Napoleon III, and therefore, in all probability, would have been folded under Third Reich economic control, that control, as we looked at in For the Record program number 300, as well as in number 278, perpetuated by in the post-war period. This article is from the Financial Times of London of Tuesday, April 3rd of the year 2001. It's co-authored by James Harding and Joe Johnson. That's Joe as in as J-O. The article is titled "Ambitious Emperor Strives to Ride a Narrow Path," subtitled "Jean-Marie Messier, head of the world's second-largest media group, has set the pace, but now he must avoid stumbling," writes James Harding and Joe Johnson. The article reads in part as follows. For nearly a century and a half, Compagnie Générale des Eaux lived under the shadow of Napoleon III, whose imperial decree created the company to manage the sewage and waterworks of the French state. So when Jean-Marie Messier, the son of a Grenoble accountant, became chairman in 1996, he inherited a sprawling state contractor with 2,714 subsidiaries, which did everything from pumping water through Paris to building generators to China to supplying school canteens to in Normandy to exterminating pests in Papua New Guinea. Since then, Mr. Messier has proved to be a businessman with imperial ambitions of his own. Over the past 5 years, he has sold out of sewage and power and bought into music and movies, trading in the company's 148-year history in infrastructure for an unpredictable future on the Internet. Approximately $27 billion worth of businesses have been sold, and the historic water business was split off last year. The Générale des Eaux name has now been dispensed with, traded in for Vivendi, a name invented by consultants. With last year's $34 billion acquisition of Seagram, the Canadian group which owned the Universal Entertainment businesses, Mr. Messier emerged as the chairman of the world's second-largest media group, eclipsing in 5 years what Rupert Murdoch achieved in five decades. And Universal owns Universal Music, the largest music company in the world. They also control Universal Pictures. As we looked at in For the Record programs 260 and 261, as well as in number 300, Thomas Middelhoff is not only an important, not only a key member of the board of directors of Vivendi, he has since resigned his position. He also was a close personal friend of Jean-Marie Messier. That, once again, would suggest at least the distinct possibility that Vivendi, as is the case with virtually all major French corporations, came under the sub rosa control of the Bormann Organization in the post-war period, continuing an economic hegemony which the Third Reich and Germany had maintained in occupied France during the war. Vivendi also has been moving into the online music business in a big way. The Financial Times of Friday, February 23rd of the year 2001, had an article by Joe Johnson in Paris and James Harding in New York, the two people who authored the article that we just looked at. This deals with a joint Vivendi and Sony online music deal with Duet. It's titled "Vivendi and Sony Tighten the Screws on Napster with Online Music Duet," and it reads as follows. Jean-Marie Messier, head of French media group Vivendi Universal, yesterday increased the pressure on Napster, the free music file-sharing service, by releasing details of a rival online music alliance, Duet, with Sony of Japan. The news comes just after Napster, which this month was found guilty of copyright infringement by a U.S. appeals court, promised to deliver $1 billion to the record industry over the next 5 years for the right to use their music. Skipping down in the article, Executives at Napster and Bertelsmann, the German media group that has thrown its weight behind helping Napster turn itself into a legitimate business, privately suspect rival music companies are bad-mouthing Napster and complaining about its record of copyright violation while seeking to build up rival services. And note that Vivendi, now BMG, has entered into a joint partnership with AOL and EMI to build MusicNet. Note that Vivendi has been moving forward as well with the online music business, and if my speculation is accurate, and I think the probability is, obviously, that it is, this would place a greater share of the music business under, in effect, underground right control. Because, again, most major French corporations are controlled by the Bormann Group and the Underground Reich, continuing a relationship between German and French industrialists and financiers that preceded the war and that had anti-communism as their initial bond. And again, the post-war economic control of corporate France is by corporate Germany and the Bormann Group. We looked at that, and again, in For the Records 278 and 300. Still more about Vivendi's forging ahead with online music business. They also formed another joint venture with Sony with Yahoo Incorporated. The following is from the LA Times. This is dated April 6th of 2001. It's an article by John Healy of the LA Times. It's headlined, Yahoo and Universal and Sony announce online music deal. Subtitled Technology. The plan would sell songs through monthly subscriptions. Analysts are skeptical of any success. Remains to be seen. Online powerhouse Yahoo Incorporated, Universal Music Group, and Sony Music Entertainment on Thursday announced the outlines of a plan to sell music together via the Internet through monthly subscriptions. The deal follows an announcement Monday by America Online and Real Networks that they're planning the subscription music services with three other major labels, EMI, Warner Music, and BMG. Together, the deals represented the biggest internet players teaming with the largest music companies to pitch what may be the next generation of music services. Perhaps the Napster-Bertelsmann deal being the spur that has driven these particular corporate horses forward. Again, bear in mind my speculation about the probable, or certainly possible, I believe, probable sub Rosa Bormann control of Vivendi, as well as the independent Zomba label. I would note that yet another online music deal was concluded by Vivendi and Universal. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle of Tuesday, April 10th of the year 2001. This is an article by Benny Evangelista. It's headlined, Record Giant Universal buys eMusic.com. And this article reads in part as follows. Universal Music Group agreed yesterday to pay about $24 million to buy eMusic.com Incorporated, the Redwood City startup that struggled to sell downloadable songs at a time when Napster has turned free music swapping into a worldwide fad. The deal is the latest in a spate of announcements in the past week from music and technology companies hoping to cash in on the growing popularity of Internet music. eMusic gives Universal, a subsidiary of French media conglomerate Vivendi Universal, more components to add to its evolving online music plans. And so note that Vivendi has gone ahead, has forged ahead in several new deals with online music. Don't forget that Vivendi also controls Universal Pictures as well. The various tapes that I've produced over the years, including the many, many other programs in the series on German corporate control over the American media that I consider arguably the most important work that I've ever done, those tapes are available from a tape, and CDs, by the way, and CD-ROMs, available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E. They're located at P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. The email address is mail, M-A-I-L, at spitfirelist.com. You can visit their website at www.spitfirelist.com. There will be a detailed and annotated description of For the Record program number 303 in the For the Record section on the Spitfire website. Sister station WFMU-FM in Jersey City, New Jersey, is compiling real audio archives of the For the Record programs. Real audio archives are available on two websites, wfmu.org/Dave Emery, and another site with a longer URL. There are links for both web addresses on in the For the Record section of the Spitfire website. That concludes side two of For the Record program number 303, If Music Be the Food of Love, March On, part four. This is being recorded on May 13th of the year 2001. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.